Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania. God forgives those who seek His forgiveness for their sins, but does He provide direction and instructions on how to live out our lives, how to impact the society with which we come in contact every day? Has the Church fulfilled its duty in equipping the saints to impact the world around them? How has the nation been impacted? How has education been impacted? How have our children been impacted? There's a conference taking place the first weekend in October in Reading, and we're going to be discussing that today. My guest is Joel Saint. He is the executive director of Mars, and we'll talk about Mars. It's not the planet. We'll talk about that during the program also. Thanks, Joel, for being with us.
Thank you, Diane, for having me. Looking forward to it. Thank you so much.
Yep. So Mars, of course, is not the red planet. What is Mars?
Yeah, that is a acronym for the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society. What happened was a few of our friends, along with myself, got together maybe eight, 9 years ago, and wanted to conduct a Bible study in which we wanted to talk about the things that the Bible addresses but the churches will not. And what happened was we decided to go a little more public with it because we just didn't want to talk to each other.
Right.
And so we started the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society, and since that time we've put on scores of lectures based on all kinds of things that the Bible talks about: criminal justice, educating the next generation, what about economics, what about environmentalism. All these topics the Bible addresses but will not be addressed in church. And you can imagine, Diane, once we began to, I hate saying it, and I'm a pastor myself saying it, but as you can imagine, once you start to address topics that the Bible addresses but the church will not, then you have an awful lot of material to work with,
sadly. There's no doubt about that. You know, you said about 8 or 9 years ago you started the Bible study that became Mars, the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society. But even in those 8 to 9 years since you started that, how much more it is that the church doesn't, you know, that doesn't talk, the church doesn't talk about even more things than the case was 8 or 9 years ago. And too many times we see the church not taking a biblical stand on issues on, like, say, marriage and such.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. It appears as if, I remember one writer saying, or one author saying, he's gone now, he's saying it seems like every time the world comes up with some kind of a new perverse thing, it's like the church can't wait to figure out a way to accommodate it.
Yeah.
And now we have to, I mean, are you serious? You got to stand up and say and make a bold statement that the Bible idea of marriage is one man, one woman. I mean, this is like cutting edge now. This is like really out on a limb.
Out of the way, yeah.
Wow.
And unfortunately, we have too many churches, liberal churches, who are very vocal in reinterpreting Scripture and to twist it to accommodate their desires. I mean, those are the vocal churches, where the conservative churches are afraid to say, too many of them. There are some that do speak on the issues. By and large, they're very silent, and too many of them don't even talk about that S word, you know, the word sin, let alone address social issues.
Yeah, and that whole topic is an intriguing one, and certainly one that needs to be addressed. Because, you know, some people about us will say, well, what do you have, a social gospel here? And we're like, wait a minute. We're not talking about the means to salvation. We are talking about what God has to say about how we live here on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible itself, 66 books, is mostly about how we're supposed to live on earth, how we're supposed to treat our neighbor.
Exactly.
What is a society supposed to look like?
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a quick example, and this happened to me a few times. I'll get into discussions with Christians. People have been in church all their lives, and we'll get into this type of discussion. They'll say, "What are you doing? You know, what are you mixing politics, religion, this sort of stuff?" I say, "Well, first of all, you tell me your politics, and I'll tell you your religion."
Yeah, for sure.
Because they're always connected. But the point that I want to try to make with them is, look, do you believe that Christ is Lord of your family? Whether you recognize it or not, that Christ is Lord and King of your family. You don't make him Lord and King. He is Lord and King of your family. You agree with that? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you believe that Christ is Lord and King of your church? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Do you believe that Christ is Lord and King of society?
Hesitation. Okay.
Oh, my word, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. When did he stop becoming Lord and King of anything?
Yeah. We see the impact upon this nation of him not being Lord and King of our society, of Christians not taking their proper role in society, because Christ is very specific that we're supposed to be engaged. We're supposed to not just sit in our churches and behind those four walls and just talk among ourselves, so we're supposed to get out and impact the world. I mean, that's what we're to do. The Great Commission, you know, has to do with getting out into the world with the gospel itself. But he expects us to be engaged in society in order to impact the world.
There's no question about that. I'm always intrigued what Christ said there in Matthew 5. You know, if the salt has lost its savor or its saltiness, it's good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men.
Yeah.
And I've often been intrigued by that. Why did he have to add "and trodden under the foot of men"? Why didn't he just say, "Well, if the salt lost its savor, it's not good for anything. Just throw it out."
Mm-hmm.
Why does he have to say trodden? And I believe the reason is this: as believers, we are supposed to infect our neighbors and our society with the goodness and graciousness of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is the Prince of Peace. And it seems to me we are either going to influence the culture or the culture is going to influence us. And when the culture influences us, that boot that we feel stepping on us is the fact that we have lost our saltiness.
Mm-hmm.
We can no longer affect the culture because we'd rather be loved and praised by the culture than infected for righteousness' sake. And Christ said, you know what? It's not just that you're going to be irrelevant. It's that you're going to be stepped on.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can't figure out we're getting stepped on now, then you're just really not paying attention.
Oh, that's for sure. I mean, we are definitely reaping what we've sown as far as our inaction, our inactivity, our unwillingness to engage in culture. And we see what's happening now, that the world, this nation is becoming more and more un-Christian, anti-Christian. And I think that's a direct result of us not being willing, us as a whole church, not being willing to engage the culture. So what do we expect? I mean, to me, people, especially young people, I think, view the church as just a social club, you know, just some place to gather once a week and, you know, sing a few songs and hear a few words and go home. Unfortunately, that's the way it's too many view it.
Sure. This is where I go to see people. This is where I go to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? We're not going to be able to make it, because if we try to do ape the world here in having a social club, guess what? They're eventually going to be able to be much better at it than we are.
Yeah.
So we might as well get out there and do our job, preach the word of God, preach righteousness to, as the older Puritans used to do, preach the word of God, preach righteousness. Understand that God's word will not return void. It's our job to promote his word. I think of this all the time with my, I'll just tell you a quick story about growing up. My father read the Bible to us all the time growing up, every night. One day when I was, I think in my early teens, or might have been earlier than that, I asked him why, when Isaiah got called in Isaiah 6, why does, you know, when Isaiah says how long, you know, God says, first of all, Isaiah says, here am I, send me. I'll do the job. And then God tells him what he's going to tell the people. Go and tell these people, you know, they're in bad shape, basically. And he says, how long? And God says, basically, until there's nobody left, until they're all carried away captive.
Wow.
So I said to Dad, what in the world? You know, God just told Isaiah that his mission will be unsuccessful.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to work. And my dad said something interesting. He said, you know what? He said, after they got carried away, they at least had a signpost. I'll tell you what, Diane, I've thought about that a lot since.
Mm-hmm.
At a minimum, we'd better be a signpost, but I think right now the church isn't even that. If the disaster happens, we won't even have a testimony of what we said the way it should have been preaching the Word of God to society, we won't even have that.
Right. And I think of 9/11, when there were so many people seeking God, seeking answers on 9/11 after the attacks. The church didn't really have any answers. The church wasn't there to answer the questions of the people. I mean, there were some out there, but by and large, and the ones who did come into the church seeking answers didn't get the answers that they wanted, or the church just wasn't able to address their issues. And it was just very sad that the church was not equipped to address their questions, the ones who, as a result of the attacks.
Diane, not even a little bit. Because once you separate, here's the thing. Here's a funny thing. How do I say this? A lot of times the founders of our country get buried by perhaps well-meaning Christians. Say they were deists, and we want nothing to do with them. We're not deists, and we want nothing to do with them. Okay, I get it, and I'm.
But I think today's Christians act more like deists than the founding fathers did.
Absolutely. Yep. What is any different? How are we not theists when we say that God has nothing to do with anything outside of our church? How is that not theist? How is that not worse?
That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
Deism writ large, and we're proud of it. Mm-hmm. It's a disaster.
For sure.
Disaster for us and our neighbor.
Yeah. So you guys got together, and as a result of your Bible study, the Mars was created, the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society, and now you're holding conferences and you do various things, monthly newsletters all on your website. Now that we have this conference coming up in Reading the first in October, so give us a little bit of what is the title of the conference and what's the purpose?
We're thrilled about it, and it's October the 5th and 6th. I know it's coming right up, but the title of our conference, our broad title, The Future of Christendom: Transforming the Culture Through Education. And, of course, the purpose of this is look, like Machen said, J. Gresham Machen, he said, if you give the children to the bureaucrats, you might as well give them everything else. Mm-hmm. And so we are talking about transforming the culture through education in this conference, and basically what we're saying is this: we need to get serious about the next generation, because the enemy of Christ, they're the ones that are also serious about the next generation. They're a lot more serious than we are.
Yeah.
So we have various speakers. Colonel John Eismo is coming up from Alabama. He's going to be talking about the fact that even in our home schools, if we give up the idea of the authority and inspiration and the authority and the inerrancy of Scripture, our home schools are actually going to become much like the public schools after a while. We've got Philip Kaiser coming up, from Illinois, just a godly pastor and an author, talking about the fact that the Bible, if you really want to be educated, the Bible is the source for all disciplines, for geometry, for math, for language arts, for history, for geology, for science. Tremendous lectures there. Godfrey Kiazi is coming from Uganda to talk about the vision for transforming Uganda through Christian education. Matt Truell is going to talk about the influencing the lesser magistrates on behalf of educating the next generation. So, and we have Martin Fulbrady from the Calcedon Foundation, Paul Michael Raymond from the New Geneva Leadership Academy. Mm-hmm. All are coming. We've actually got them coming from all over the globe
for
this conference.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, that lesser magistrate, when that intrigued me, what is that? Could you go a little bit more detail about educating the magistrate, or lesser magistrate?
Yeah, Matt has written extensively on the what he calls the lesser magistrate or the middle magistrate. But I want to just discuss that briefly. A lot of people, our knowledge of history and what we've been through as a country is so sparse. We don't know why we have various levels of government.
Oh, okay.
Now we're being taught that we have state governments just to bow and kowtow to the feds because they got the money. Well, Matt has pointed out again and again that the reason why we have lesser magistrates is to protect the people that they're supposed to protect from the greater magistrates.
Okay.
And so these levels of government exist to protect each other, or to protect the people. And I'll give you a quick example. I saw this out in Elkhart, Indiana, a few years ago. This happened to have to do with an Amish farmer. I'll bring this around to education in a moment. An Amish farmer in Indiana was selling raw milk. The FDA was going to come out, and they told him they were going to come out, and they were going to come onto his property, and if he was selling raw milk, they were going to arrest him. This is something really to be concerned about
A
farmer out there selling raw milk, calling the cavalry. What happened was the local sheriff, a man of tremendous courage apparently, wrote a letter to the USDA and said, he's just a sheriff of the county.
Elected,
Exactly, elected by the people. That said, if you show up on this man's property without a warrant from a local judge.
Local judge, okay.
I or one of my deputies will place you under arrest.
Oh, wow.
And they backed off. That's the lesser magistrate protecting their people from the greater magistrate. If that makes sense?
It does make sense. Absolutely. That sheriff definitely had courage to stand up. He just stood up against the federal government. That's what he did.
He absolutely did.
Wow.
And he got threats of lawsuits and this kind of stuff. As far as I know, nothing ever happened. That's the way they operate. But he protected that farmer.
Good.
Who all he was doing was selling raw milk from people who wanted it. There was never any evidence of harm.
Right.
And that's another thing we've lost. Mm-hmm. The Bible is very clear that if there's a crime committed, you have to show evidence of harm at some point.
Right.
Well, now we don't have to show evidence of harm anymore.
Yeah.
We just have to have a charge, apparently, that somebody did something wrong.
Yeah.
And I guess that's all we need now to draw in quarter and convict somebody publicly.
Oh, pretty much so. I mean, that we just look at the Brett Kavanaugh situation. Yeah, that's for sure.
People saying publicly that he needs to prove himself innocent.
Yeah, and that's like, where did they go to school at? I mean, everyone knows in America you're innocent until proven guilty. I mean, that's always been that way.
I kind of thought so.
I guess, but you know, they're trying to say it. Anyway, we see a lot of this. And this is totally not off track, but still. The media is very good at repeating things, and of course that's propaganda. It's one of the propaganda techniques. You repeat things often enough, and the people begin to believe it. And we see that happening with the Brett Kavanaugh situation. So anyway, so you have Friday registration beginning at noon. Registration and check-in. The first session starts at 1, and then Saturday. It's all day Saturday. And then you have, for the ones who want to stay over, you have a church service on Sunday at 10 with a panel discussion at 8 a.m. with church service at 10.
That's exactly right. Yep. We have all that.
And it's Reading, but where at in Reading is this going to be?
It's out the Crown Plaza in Reading, a little bit outside of Reading. Reading is the one that's better known, but Wyomissing is an area just outside of Reading a little bit. And that's really where it's going to be. But we say Reading because that's the one that's a lot easier to find out on the map.
Yeah, for sure. And that's October 5th through the 7th, beginning at noon. Where can folks find more information on this, and how much does it cost? Do you happen to know?
Yeah, sure do. If you go to the website is futureofchristendom.org.
Okay.
And we have that title because we believe Christendom does have a future. We believe that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of battles to fight in the meantime.
Yeah.
But we have a king, and he is a king who's not quitting. And so that's the title of our website, futureofchristendom.org. What we do is we provide three meals. It's $114 total for the conference.
Mm-hmm.
That gets you into all the sessions. It also gets you three meals on Saturday, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And, we feel like that's a pretty good pretty good deal. And then for children, it's a little bit cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a complete children's program, so you can come with your family, a complete children's program. Again, if it's called the Future of Christendom Conference, we felt we had to include the kids, right?
Well, that's true, because that's got to be the future, that's for sure. That's
absolutely.
For sure. Wow. And so that's Future of Christendom, christendom.org. You can get more information and register for the conference, again, which is October 5th through the 7th at the Crown Plaza Hotel just outside of Reading.
Just outside of Reading, easy to find. On our website, we have all you'll need. You can register on the website with a card. We have information about lodging. We also have a beautiful brochure in PDF form, which tells folks the entire program with maps, with speaker topics, with speaker bios, everything. I think you look at our website, you'll see that we're really sweating the details here, and are going to make this just a wonderful time for everybody who comes.
Yeah, I've got not that one that's on the website, but I do have a brochure in my hand. Got a lot of information on it for sure. And if folks want to know more about Mars, how would they be able to find out more about Mars?
Yeah, they can find out more by going to our website, which is thinkandreform.org.
Okay, thinkandreform.org. I do encourage folks to consider attending this conference. I believe the September 30th is that the last day to register?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so September 30th, so that's just right around the corner here, and we'll help get the word out about this taking place, because what you guys are doing is so very important, because the American church, by and large, is not doing its job of educating and equipping the Christians to engage the culture, and we see the result of that in their nation right now, for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We're either at war or we're at peace, and we cannot be at peace with the world, the flesh, and the devil. We just can't.
That's for sure. Thanks so much, Joel, and I'll be seeing you on that Saturday then.
I'll look forward to seeing you, Diane. Can't wait to meet you.
Okay, you take care then.
All right, I'll see you now.
Okay, bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.